there's so many times where I've woken up and not known how I was going to make payroll and have enough money to pay employees. And you're like, holy shit. And there's so many times where you have bills due and you have, you know, so many more bills due than you have money. And you're like, where is this money going to come from? When I was earlier in my career, I used to think things would be fatal. So I started to learn and get confidence in like nothing's really fatal.
Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to the Manifesting Money Podcast. My name's Anita Aguilar. I am your host, as well as a money mindset coach, a manifesting expert, and so are you, and I'm going to show you how, and the CEO of a multi-million dollar company teaching manifestation. This podcast's purpose is to bring massive consciousness around the world of money manifestation, and we want to share our stories to truly help you understand that money is just energy. It's an unlimited resource that you can tap into at any given point in time. The way that you feel about money is how it shows up for you. So if you have the limiting belief that you have to work super hard for money, this podcast is for you. I'm going to be sharing the things that I personally learned the hard way, but I'm also going to be sharing tips, tricks, strategies, and stories of those who truly healed their relationships with money and have mastered attracting abundance. Now, without further ado, let's get right to it.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Manifesting Money Podcast. Oops, wrong button. Okay, I wanted to start with a little bit of Christmas music because it is officially Christmas season after Black Friday. Again, that's when I like to start celebrating and watching all my Christmas movies. So welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Manifesting Money Podcast. If you're new here, welcome. If you're a long-term listener, welcome back. Just a reminder that each and every one of your subscribes help us get this message out to as many people as possible. So if you're new, make sure you put the little download button wherever you're listening right now. And if you can, leave us a 5-star review so we can get this message out again to as many people as possible. So I have a really big mission for each and every one of you to feel seen and heard on this podcast. And one way I really like to do that is to share your testimonies or your stories. And today, before we get started, I would love to just share some of the things that came up when I asked you what you are consciously co-creating. So this is from my Instagram story. If you hear your name, then go ahead and message me and just say that you were heard. But I just wanted to publicly announce some of the things that you all are consciously manifesting. So Bianca is manifesting financial abundance. The challenges I face are preparing me for this. Ooh, I love that mindset. Daisy is manifesting a home purchase. I love that for you. Laura is manifesting traveling, self-love, quality for a home. Or qualifying for a home. Kimberly is manifesting going to Spain soon. Shayna Blass is manifesting a trip to Italy, more aligned jobs with writing, singing, jingles, and also a 2-bedroom apartment in Williamsburg for me and my sister. Ooh, love that. And Alicia is manifesting business goals.
Awesome. Okay, I love that you all are, again, consciously creating. And this leads me right into the introduction for our guest today. I have the funniest story for you all, and I've been so excited to post this episode because all of this momentum of what this person has manifested has happened after we recorded, and I just thought it was so funny. So our guest today, his name is Taylor Offer. But if you are a loyal TikTok person and you're on the app just as much as I am, you know that it has its own little world. And one of the things that has been trending specifically for all the New Yorkers right now is the scooped bagel guy. And I just have, again, this funniest story because Taylor just put on his Instagram and he said, "Well, I manifested being on a billboard in New York." And then he put on the next slide is that. Next time, I think I'm going to be a little bit more specific because it wasn't the way that I thought it was going to be. And the sign reads, "Sorry, tourist, we don't scoop our bagels here." Okay. Honestly, I just think this was super funny and like way out of context. But I just thought it was super ironic that it just so happened to be our guest for the podcast today. So for those of you who have absolutely no context of what I'm talking about, you don't get on TikTok, or maybe you do get on TikTok, but you still don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to go ahead and share this video that went completely viral and what made the scooped bagel thing such a huge phenomenon.
There's nothing more stressful than ordering a bagel in New York City. I just went to a bagel shop here. I'm from Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, if you order a bagel, you walk in, you say, hey, can I get a scoop gluten-free bagel? The person behind the bar is usually like, there's nothing more stressful than ordering a bagel in New York City. I just went to a bagel shop here. I'm from Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, if you order a bagel, you walk in, you say, hey, can I get a scoop gluten-free bagel? The person behind the bar is usually like, of course, we have these different options today for gluten-free. Of course, I can do that for you. In New York, I just walked in and asked for a gluten-free bagel. Guy just looks at me and goes, I'm not scooping your fucking bagel, bro. It's like, dude, that's how I want it. It's like, get the fuck out of here with that shit. I was like, all right, on to the next one, I guess.
And that is our guest for today. I'm literally just so shocked by this whole entire scenario. I just think it's so funny. Someone literally bought him a flight to get out of New York City, and it was just so dramatic. And yeah, I just think he just kind of got all of the heat from like this building momentum of LA versus New York City. Like, chill out, people, for real. So more than the scooped bagel guy, he is a CEO founder of a company called Feet. So they made $1 million within, I believe, the first year or two that they opened the business. And he was only in his early 20s when he started this. So I really love his story because we talk about how he started this company with a partner in the business. And I just thought that was a really, really amazing dynamic to kind of just see how everything built and what type of growth that he went through after they separated of being partners in the business. So we talked a lot about growing as a human being and just kind of seeing yourself or really getting to know yourself at a certain age and being conscious and aware. And the reason why I wanted to get him on the podcast in the first place is because he made a very vulnerable post about how he had opened a shop up for the company and then had to shut it down. And this just resonated with me so much because one, he had the courage to like share it, show it on his social media. There were so many supportive comments. And just for me, I just really needed to see that in that moment. And so having him on the podcast when we were able to talk about, you know, taking L's and what it's like to put everything you got into something and it, quote unquote, not being enough. And we really just talk about allowing things to flow and letting go of things opposed to forcing it and, you know, needing to be the best in the world, the Jeff Bezos and the type of people that we look up to, and shifting to, you know, the people that we admire that who are just be able to be, and they're just able to be themselves, to sit still, to go to a park and relax. And just this huge dynamic shift when it comes to allowing yourself to let go. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear this podcast episode today. I know you're going to resonate with it. So I'm going to leave all of Taylor's information down in the bottom so you can give him a shout out for anything that resonates with you today. And I will see you guys in the episode.
Yeah, I mean, things happen at 30. And it's like, as someone, I turned 30. I remember everyone in their 30s would always tell me, like, stuff changes when you turn 30. Like, you'll get it when you're 30. And I'm like, no, I already get it. You have no idea. When I turned 30, everything changed. Like, I became a different human. It was nuts. Like, on my 30th birthday, exactly. It was like, I've never had an experience like that.
Here, give me an example.
Just perspective and, like, things that I valued, right? Like, it was like ripping off a Band-Aid. Like, my 20s are over. I'm not chasing external things. I know why. It's like, I woke up on my 30th birthday. I was like, this is who I am. This is who I'm going to be the rest of my life. I'm not in those same patterns I was in my 20s. I'm 30 now. I'm an adult. I stand up straight. I don't care about these things. I care about these things. And I was like, shit, what's happening? It was just nuts.
I resonate with that. I just turned 28 like 2 days ago, and I still feel like a really big shift of like awareness and like values and what's important and what's not important.
Wait till your 30th birthday. It all changes.
I'm excited. Yeah. But I kind of want to keep going on that topic of like your perception of the world. So I know for me personally, I've always known I was going to be really big, famous, lots of money from when I was a little kid. But I'm curious. So someone who's like in your position, have you always had that like intuitive knowing too?
I always thought I was different. And I always thought I like was just different. Never like, I don't think I ever thought I'd be like famous or anything. I knew that I was different and I had to stay different. Whatever that meant. But yeah, it was challenging at times, right? Like to know that you're different and you're going through, especially school was really hard for me because I'm like, I know I'm fucking smart, but I'm not getting the good grades. I'm different. My mind differently. So at times it's challenging, and at times I've shied away from this feeling of being different and tried to conform. And that's caused me the most stress, the most anxiety. So I've learned to lean into this, like, I'm different. I know that. Like, you can call me different. I think it's a compliment. It's cool. Where I used to be, like, trying to fit in more.
Yeah, I feel that. Do you have siblings?
Yes, older sister, younger brother.
So were you kind of like, is it kind of like Malcolm in the Middle, where you're like, which character would you be out of the family?
I didn't watch Malcolm in the Middle, so I can't give you a good reference, but I was the middle child who was always screaming for attention and trying to get it in any way possible.
Wow, that makes so much sense, because the oldest most likely has a lot of responsibility, firstborn child, and then there's the youngest, who's like 8, then you're in the middle. I'm a twin, so I got a lot of attention because I was a twin, but I never got individual attention.
Yeah. So, question for the twin, because I've gone through this where I've had codependence with my identity in many ways, especially like I had a business partner for 7 years where I was very codependent on my identity. In relationships, I became codependent. As a twin, did you ever, what is that like feeling in terms of your unique identity?
Well, it was like we unconsciously said little phrases so long that we didn't realize that we're putting our identity together. So we'd say, oh my gosh, we got to lose weight. Dang. Oh my gosh, we got to make, oh my gosh, wow, we got to get fit. So we didn't really realize we did that until we were a little bit older, maybe like 25. And then we're like butting heads and like, well, you got to do that, not me. And then we're like just realizing that we've always been kind of seen as one. So, because if somebody didn't remember which one we were, they would call us twin.
Hey.
So I like lost a lot of myself. But I'm glad that last year, like I celebrated my birthday alone. I kind of felt like that. It was like a big shift, but.
Was that, did it feel like ripping a Band-Aid off? Did it feel like it was a long time coming? Like, what did that feel like?
It's like ripping in. It felt like both. I mean, I think in order to really appreciate somebody, especially when you are really codependent on them, because she was a lot of the masculine of like, okay, we'll get stuff done. And I was the dreamer. So when we were separate, we both joined different branches of the military. Then it was like really hard because I had to like figure out how to do a lot of stuff on my own. And like money was a big part of it too, because I would work a lot and I would make money, but I was still late in all my payments and my credit score was still low. And that's because she was the one to always tell me like, make sure you do this and make sure you do that. So that way it was really difficult for me.
Wow. Fascinating.
Very so when did you meet your partner?
When I was 20. Yeah, in college.
Wait, that's in like a movie.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the start of the company, the start of Feet was really, I mean, like every other, it's the stereotypical startup story, like two white dudes meet in college and the company together, like out of a garage, right? Like it was as stereotypical as it could get, like hustling around campus. And then right when we graduated, we raised $1 million. And it's like, holy shit, so much money. Like, off to the success. And then, oh, you get your challenges. And then you build back up. And you're like, this time's the good time. Then you get your challenges again. And you're like, this time I'm cruising for real. And then it's challenges. And it's just this journey of up and down.
I love that. Because everybody says success is not, it's not linear. But, like, unless you have a story tied to it, it's hard to like really picture that. And yeah. 20 is like really young. I mean, that was like 10 years ago now that we like are talking about it. So I'm curious, what were some of the things that you and your business partner, like what were your like values versus his values, and what did you bring to the table versus him?
Yeah. I think at the beginning, it was the value we brought to each other was neither of us was super confident in ourselves. So the value we gave was just support. It was a lot of emotional, like, hey, you know, there's a lot of overlap in skills, but it was just, I think, a fear of doing it alone, and an emotional support that became an emotional dependency. And we're actually, we no longer work together. So it became emotionally ripping it apart. And yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a very interesting journey of working so closely, whether it's a business partner, whether it's employees who you work with for years and then go apart. It's like, it's almost like magnets in a way that they come together and then they get ripped apart. And it's, you know, it come together so gradually, but oftentimes to actual separate, whether it's a business partner, whether it's an employee, like magnets, you need to pull hard and go far away. So that's kind of the challenge of, like, you get codependent on things and then you rip them off, and then you get codependent on other things, rip them off, and just kind of that journey of understanding that. So it's been interesting. I mean, in total, I think throughout 10 years, we probably had over 50 employees, 50, and
wow,
have joined and left and joined and left. And, you know, the company's kind of gone up and down in size many times. I've had multiple business partners who have joined and left. And it's like, it kind of reinforces, after a while, you have to start relying on yourself and just being like, shit, I could do this and I'm going to make this happen no matter what. It's not relying on somebody else.
Somehow it pointed out the stories of the magnet, and I'm a very visual learner, and I also see the whole world like as a TV show. So like in my brain, when you gave that example about the startup, that really helps. But it is true how we unconsciously like put our identities with, you know, people, especially when you're in that growing phase, because you're not only growing a business, like you're actually growing like as a human. 20 years old, that's like where we make the most mistakes, let alone starting a business. Like, and I think we learn more about ourselves when we learn it when we start a business too, because it takes so much faith.
You have no idea. I mean, as 20, you have no idea who you are. And when you're starting a business, it's like, there's so, it's as soon as you reach a new plateau and you feel comfortable with where you are, you realize there's another plateau and you go there and you challenge yourself and you have to refine yourself at every plateau. And that's where you just kind of learn it's continuous. It never stops. Like, you're going to, every time you hit something and you think you know what's going on, you think you know who you are, you think you know how you react to certain things, you just go to the next mountain peak and you're like, holy fuck, I've never seen a mountain peak like this before. Like, I have to figure it all out again and figure it all out again. And that's just the journey of growth.
Yeah. A lot of too. Can you give me an example of a time where you're like, holy crap, I have no idea how I'm going to get through this, and somehow it worked out?
Every day when I wake up?
No.
A time when I was like, holy crap, I'm going to get through this. I mean, there's been so many times throughout the business, right? Like, there's so many times where I've woken up and not known how I was going to make payroll and have enough money to pay employees. And you're like, holy shit. And there's so many times where you have bills due and you have, you know, so many more bills due than you have money. And you're like, where is this money going to come from? And then somehow it always works out. And it's like, I kind of think about it like, and back to, you said you think of analogies in TV shows where it's like, if you're thinking about surviving and you're like, you're going to find a way to survive. Like, you're going to find a way to get, you're going to find a way to survive. And I think oftentimes when I was earlier in my career, I used to think things would be fatal. I used to think, and to use the example of surviving, if you were hungry, I used to think like, oh my God, if I don't eat dinner tonight, I'm going to die of hunger. And it's like, no, you're not. Oh my God, if I don't pack lunch and there's no lunch there, I'm going to starve. It's like, no, you'll get a bite of somebody else's food, or no, you'll figure something else out, right? So
yeah,
I started to learn and get confidence in like, nothing's really fatal. It's like, oh shit, you know, pay this vendor $100,000 tomorrow and I have $7,000 in a bank account. How is it gonna happen? I'm good at this, is we're gonna go out of business. It's like, no, the vendor will allow you to wait a couple more weeks to pay them, or you know, randomly you'll figure something else out. So there's often these moments, but if you go through enough of these moments and like, then it's like, oh shit, you know, let's just say, and to use numbers as an example, if it's to say you owe someone $100,000, like you need to pay $100,000 tomorrow and you don't have it. Well, the next time that happens and you owe someone $25,000 and you don't have it, you're like, fuck, it's not 100. This is so much easier, right? So things are so relative. And it's almost like the more you expose yourself to in terms of challenges, the less challenging other things become. So it's like the more uncomfortable situations you can put yourself in, like using an ice bath, for example, if you go on an ice bath and it's 30 degrees and you're in there for 10 minutes, if you go on an ice bath and it's 45 degrees and you have to go there for 5 minutes, you're like, that's a walk in the park. Like I did 30 for 10 minutes. So it's almost just exposing yourself to these challenging things, which is what you want to do, because it makes everything else seem so relatively less challenging.
And I love this perspective of it too, because there's so many people who are listening to this right now and they're having the same problems, but with different amount of money. And, you know, we always think that when we have more money, that our problems are going to go away.
Mo money, mo problems. Biggie Small. That's what he said.
Dude, I just love the perspective of it too, because it's one thing if I say it or somebody else says it, but it's like you as your specific person identity. Like I always believe that everyone has a certain frequency when they talk. And that's why when you say it, it resonates. Or if I say it, it resonates. Or Biggie Small says it, it resonates, because you're not only like listening to their voice and that vibration, but also their story. And the story is what really helps the subconscious mind believe what's possible or not.
Anyway.
Was there anybody in your life where you kind of like looked up to or maybe watched their story that helped you believe things were a little bit more possible for you?
Oh, so many people. Like, so many people. And it's changed a lot over time of like what and who I look up to. I think when I was earlier in my life and less mature and earlier in my career, I would look up to the, you know, the Steve Jobs and Elon Musk of the world, right? Because they are able to accumulate this massive amount of wealth and have this massive amount of power. But then as I start looking at the full picture, I'm like, oh, what does their personal life look like? Like, what is their actual, like, how much time have they dedicated to their work? What does their family life look like? What do I value? I think it's very, the media likes sensationalizing single aspects of people's life, right? Like the single aspect of somebody like Steve Jobs, the visionary, so much money, but like they don't talk about the relationship he had with his daughter or the mother of his daughter and how challenging that was. And it depends on what you value. And oftentimes people get caught up in valuing one part of people's life. You can't just have one part of people's life. Like people are able to do things really massively over here by ignoring other things that are really important. So I've really changed my perspective of who I look up to and why. And it's more of well-rounded people who are, it's not just about money. It's not just about power. It's not just about fame. Like I've met a lot of the most famous people in the world and their lives fucking suck. I would hate to trade the most famous people in the world, like who I've met. They're so stressed. So anxious, so uncomfortable at all times. That shit sucks. They can't walk outside. And everyone has this idea that they want this, right? They want this money, fame, power, and they idolize those types of people. If you knew those types of people, whether the most famous people in the world, the most wealthy people in the world, they're not living that good. You would not want their lives, right? So I've tried to kind of reimagine or rethink about, like, who do I care about in terms of values? Like, yeah, there's definitely a certain amount of financial success where you don't have to be stressed, which I think is important. But is that more important than having love and, you know, great relationships and an amazing family and being a good parent and being a good son and being, you know, good to the people you care about? I don't know if that's more important, right? So I think it's important for people to start idolizing different types of people and looking up to different stories in different ways and just realizing you can't just take a sliver of someone's life. You have to take the full picture.
Beautiful. I love what you said about really looking at the full picture of like how their family life is. Because if you really think about it, so many people work out of scarcity as their parents were never home. And then it just creates this like huge vicious cycle of like, okay, well now I got to do this. So, like my kids have better things. But really what they want for you is to be present and to be there. Like even if you're not home all the time, it's like just be there when you are physically there. But you're like not thinking about work or you're just, you know, taking time off just to listen and relax. And for me personally, I had to learn how to communicate with my family too, because I would just start to unconsciously talk about business or talk about insert myself instead of kind of really figuring out, you know, how can I hold space for a family member?
Sweet. When you think
that happened a lot when you had a relationship with your partner or your business partner and like your family?
I think it happened when I started rethinking about how I determine or measure success. So early in my career, I was very motivated for one type of success. And it was to be, you know, feature, like I got Forbes 30 under 30 when I was 23, to be in the New York Times with an article, to raise millions of dollars, to have everyone say like, oh, that dude's crushing it. Look at him. I had these fancy cars. I had this lifestyle. I was hanging out with these really cool people. And I got all that. And I still felt empty.
It
did not feel anything. And I was like, fuck. Like, I remember there's when I was like 24 years old, or I'm like, shit, like 23, 24, had everything I ever wanted. And I was beside myself. I felt so empty inside. And it was such a horrible feeling that it made me really think about, like, how do I define success? And up until that point, if you asked me, like, you know, if I said, I'm going to go take a walk and just go stare at the trees for an hour, that old version of me would say, that is the biggest fucking waste of time. Why don't you take your phone? Why don't you listen to an audiobook while you're going there? Why don't you work? Why don't you hustle? Why don't you call someone else? Why don't you do more work? Why would you do that? That's such a waste. Where today's version of me says that hour is the best hour you could spend your time. Because it's like, it's just redefining how you think of success. And is success getting the most money, fame, status? Or is success enjoying the most of your life? Being present for the most part of your life? Being, having that connection with people that you could only have if you're truly present and interested in caring in them, like in that special bond connection. So I think a lot of that changed when I started just redefining how I think about success. And it's challenging because I see so many people who are chasing the wrong things. And I always want to tell them, like, look, even if you get there, it's still going to suck. And I've had friends who've sold companies for hundreds of millions or billions of dollars. I've had friends who have gone from zero to hundreds of millions of followers. And they try so hard. They sacrifice so much to get there. And they get there and they are so fucked up. They are so depressed. Yeah. It fucks with you. You realize, like, why would you trade all that to be able to stand up and to greet a human and say hi and be present? There's nothing better than that. To be able to sit in a park and stare at a tree and watch the wind on the leaves. There is nothing better than that. So, like, the things you're chasing and making those sacrifices for, oftentimes it's not worth it. So I think if anyone listening to this, the one thing I'm challenging them is just, like, to think about how they define success. And is it your own definition of success? Or is it the definition that the world has put on you and other people have put on you? And does it actually matter to you? Do you give a fuck what people think? Most likely, probably not. You give a fuck about how you feel? Most likely, probably. So, like, go take care of yourself. Go feel good and just think about how you define success.
Oh, I love this. Are you familiar with quantum leaping?
No, not at all. Explain.
Okay. Well, the 0 to 100 of, like, followers, it's like, instead of, like, really, like, building the steps, you kind of skip the steps. And you automatically step into that version. And Russ, the rapper Russ, and Jay Shetty just did a podcast interview, and they were talking about that same concept of getting everything that you want, but not feeling full.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time this happened to me when I became conscious of, like, manifestation, and my external world blew up, but I felt so numb. Like, it was this weird, I hated that feeling. Like, I felt not happy, not sad. Just numb. And I felt really lonely as well because nobody understood what I was talking about because they hadn't not only manifested the material things and really understood what it was that to go after something you want and not feel anything. But also to know that, like, those highs have equal, like, lows. And I just felt so empty. And so when Russ was talking about it, now you're bringing it up and that feeling of, like, not feeling whole. So what are some of the other things that you did to, like, kind of really become conscious that this wasn't filling you up and kind of bring that wholeness to yourself?
And Well, first of all, I got to go check out that podcast. So thank you for sharing. I'm going to go listen to
it. Oh, it's, yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. I can't check it out. What are things that helped me become conscious? I think the biggest thing was actually the scariest thing that I did, which was slowing down. And I think for the longest time, I knew I had to slow down. My body would tell me I would need to slow down, but my brain was so hardwired to not slow down. And my brain would convince me and trick me that the reason it's weakness to slow down and I have to keep going fast. I got to jam more information in my brain. I can't sit still. I can't just sit and think because that's lazy. I got to put more stuff in my brain, more booked, more scrolling on Instagram, more. Brain, don't slow down. And that strength in my brain tricked me for so long because I realized I was scared to slow down. And that was me trying to protect myself from slowing down because I knew how challenging it would be to slow down. And the hardest and most challenging thing you could do is slow down. So I think that's the thing that gave me so much perspective was slowing down. And finally, after 30 years, having the courage to slow down, having the courage to sit in my thoughts for hours, having the courage to sit in front of the mirror and just stare at myself for hours. It's fucking scary. That has given me the ability to have such a new perspective and has given me so much confidence and strength because somewhere deep in my subconscious, when I was not slowing down, I was going so fast. I knew I was like somewhere. I wasn't even conscious of it. I knew I was scared to slow down and I felt it and I knew I needed to, but I couldn't. Now I know I can. And that's my biggest fear. I faced my biggest fear. Everything else, I face myself. I know who I am. Everything else will be easy now, which has allowed me to get this perspective of like, shit, like, as long as I know who I am, as long as I could sit there for an hour, look at myself in the mirror, as long as I could be in my own thoughts and be comfortable and be good, that's all that matters. But it's scary. It's so scary to slow down because you think you're going to fall behind, especially in the hyper-connected world we live in today. Like, you think you're going to fall behind. Some of the things I've done, like, I have a flip phone now, which I know sounds crazy. I run a large business. Like, I have a lot of people that rely on me. I have family, I have friends, I'm very social. I keep my iPhone at my desk at all times. And then I have a second flip phone where anyone that's important knows my number. And whenever I'm not at my desk, I treat my phone like my computer, where it's just at my desk and I'm on it for work. Then I have my flip phone. Because I had realized how subconscious, like the phone, and I think the first thing we have to admit is like, the phone is more powerful than us. And anyone thinks that they're more powerful than the phone, they're wrong. You're not more powerful than your phone. The way these apps are built, the way the colors are built, the way the notifications are built, it is stronger than your little reptilian brain. And it has control over you. And you're most likely addicted to your phone because almost everybody is. So if you think you're in control of it, that's what it wants you to think, to trick you just to be out of control of it. You need to take control of your brain because when you're getting notifications every 5 minutes, and this happened to me, like every time I'd go to the bathroom, I would take my phone and just be scrolling in there. Like no matter what, anytime I had any second, anytime I was at a red light, I'd stop and scroll, which I was like, holy fuck. Like when do I have any time to think? Like that's nuts. Like I'm never thinking about anything. So I just stopped taking my phone places. And I think it's important to your biggest asset is your brain and spending and thinking. And when you surrender that unconsciously to these devices, you lose all power to think on your own. And that's fucked up. Then you're just allowing yourself to get wired by whatever the algorithm wants you to be wired by and allows you to think about whatever the algorithm wants you to think about, whether it's a war here, whether it's a dancing cat on the surfboard, you're going to be thinking about that, whether it's a TikTok, like stupid sound, it's taking over your brain. So you have to kind of understand and you could choose what information goes in your brain and what you think about. Sorry, that was a long-winded rant, but shit.
I love it. It resonates so much. Just and what you are really gonna love that interview with Russ, and because you're like taking the words verbatim out of his mouth, but it's so funny to watch because it just keeps coming to the surface, not only here but also like what I'm going through in my life. And so I always feel like God, universe, source will bring me people so I can learn more about my own situation. So sometimes when you're in it, you can't really see why something is happening. We go into the victim mentality of like, and this is happening to me, not for me. And then once you're really able to find that on your own of like acceptance, like and sitting still and just not acting, even when everything in your body is telling you to move, it's also uncomfortable. But also really feeling those emotions, like you said, like when you are looking in the mirror and actually looking at yourself, opposed to, you know, checking about what you look like to maybe somebody else, but really just looking at yourself and feeling those emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing for me personally that I realized is that I was running from feeling certain emotions. And so when I stopped and I sat still, I was actually unconsciously with my business trying to save so many people with teaching them money and manifesting, because maybe if they manifest money, they'll be safe. Maybe if I save them, somehow I'm saving my dad. And there was just a huge vicious cycle of me, like, as a child trying to save my dad as an alcoholic. But then when I got to this place of like, okay, I can't change him, it actually did a huge ripple effect to everything in my life. My podcast listeners, my clients, my friends, my family members. So it felt like this huge grieving process, but nobody died. So just sitting there and like really feeling that, not only for like a day, a month, it was like 6 months, 7 months. I'm like, oh my God. And I think when I look back at it, I'm just so grateful that I write everything down. Otherwise, I think that things were shinier then than they were now, because I'm like, oh, wait. Like, I'm glad I went after all those things and I felt that emptiness and that numbness, because now I know what it feels like to feel whole.
100% Well, first of all, you have such an amazing perspective, and it's, I could feel how awesome your energy is. So good job on that. I really enjoyed talking to you. Something you said that I thought was really interesting, writing things down. That's another big thing that has affected so much of, I think in the moment when you have a thought, it's easy to think that thought will last forever and that thought is permanent. But your thoughts are so impacted by your current mood or your current state, right? If you talk to somebody, let's just say you go to a party and you talk to someone and they said, that party was horrible, blah, 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 and you're tired and you're hungry and you're cranky, you're probably going to be looking back at that party and like, oh yeah, that was horrible, blah, blah, blah. Whereas if you did your workout, your endorphins are good, you could be like, no, that party was actually awesome. And it's the same event that happened, but you could think about it in different ways over time. So like, thoughts are not permanent. What happens is we get trapped when we think thoughts are permanent. You think always, this person always makes me feel bad. This person never does this way always. And in the moment you think it is, and that's why writing is so important, because you could see how differently your thoughts are over time, and your thoughts are just passing. And then you are not your thoughts. Those are just ideas. And that's the other thing I always try to look at it like, whenever I get too caught up in anything, I just look at it from a third perspective. And I think about myself from a third perspective. And I think, wow, Taylor is stressed about this. That's funny. Like, I almost think of like an alien or somebody like looking from above, like, oh, this human is stressed about this. That's funny. I mean, this, why is he stressed? That makes no sense. Like, when you zoom out. So I think it's the most important thing you do is be in control of your thoughts and be understand that you are not your thoughts. They come and they go. The best ways to do that, journaling, writing things down, and then always able to step back and say, you know, instead of saying, I'm so stressed and anxious, I'm feeling stressed and anxious about this situation. I am not. I'm feeling that way. Mm-hmm. It's a feeling that's in me right now. And then think, oh, I'm probably feeling that way because there's some trauma around this. And now it makes sense. Now I know why I'm feeling this way. I know this feeling will pass. That's okay.
I love this. I love how you said, I am feeling this way, because a lot of people are unconsciously, like you said, saying, I am this, and unconsciously manifesting more of it because their brain is so subconsciously programmed to think, if I'm feeling this, then it's going to get bigger. But really, if you're feeling it, it goes through you, opposed to like getting stuck. And so I've really learned to do that same thing with the third perspective and just allow myself to see, oh, that's pretty validating why she would be upset. You know, it's not going to last forever, but, you know, when you get a bigger picture and just be really honest about your thoughts and honest about, you know, sometimes I am judgmental and I'm like, whoa, this is an opportunity for me to see, you know, whatever I'm judging about that person, it's actually something I'm judging about myself. And so when I look at that, I'm like, okay, I'm glad that I was honest with myself about what I was thinking and feeling, because now I can change that within myself. So I do want to go back to what you said about being addicted to our phones and the things that we're taking in all the time. I love true crime so much, but I noticed also when I stopped listening to like anything at all, no audiobooks, no motivational, no educational stuff, that's when all the scary thoughts would start to come in. But I'm curious, what are some things that you really maybe had to accept this past year, opposed to forcing it to keep going the next level?
Boom. Well, like you talked about the True Crime podcast, I've accepted that I used to watch a lot of Instagram stories. Whether it was friends, whether it was other people I knew in similar businesses. And it's interesting because if you look at it, you'll start to realize, whether it's Instagram stories or Instagram feed or TikTok, whatever it is, those algorithms start to feed you things that are able to get you the most emotionally invested in, whether good or bad. And whether, you know, the stories that I started realizing that I'd be seeing often were founders that I was jealous of, and it looked like they're living this life that was crushing it, right? And I thought my brain was tricking me to think like, oh no, this is motivation, blah blah blah. But I realized like I didn't feel good when I watched those stories. If people, I'd be seeing them over and over again. They'd be coming up in my mind all over and over again. They'd be in my dreams, my nightmares. It made these people or things, whether it was, you know, people with businesses I was jealous of, whether it was, you know, people I used to be in relationships with, whatever it was, whether it was a person I thought was living a great life, I wanted that, and I was jealous of, whatever those things were, it made all those things and people, or a celebrity I was following, I had no idea who they were, but I was jealous of their life in some way, it made all these things so much bigger than they are in my world. And I was just letting all this information come into my world in my head, and it wasn't serving me in a good way. It was making me feel like I wasn't enough. It was making me feel feelings of jealous, anger. It was making me think, oh shoot, like this person is on this vacation at this 5-star hotel, and like my vacation is gonna be so bad relative to that one. Shit.
Yeah.
Where like, if I clean that whole slate and that perspective, my mindset will go to, holy shit, I'm going on a vacation. That's cool. And it's not shifting from this person's flying private here, or this person's flying first class here, and they're showing the picture of the plane ticket so purposely, so it says 1A. So it's like, shit, you know, they're going that. Where, and I'm not doing that, or whatever it is. Because that's just like adding this layer where if you clear that whole slate, you're like, and you're thinking from a fresh mind, like, holy shit, I'm going on a metal device that is flying into the air. Sick in that, and I get to sit down? I don't care that it's a middle seat. I'm sitting down in this device that's flying in the air, and I'm going to a place where I get to go relax and not think about anything. Shit. So it's the way social media and all of these apps affect your perspective on things. I think a lot of people aren't aware of how much it fucks shit up. Like, everything is so special and unique. But if you're constantly seeing, you know, other things, it's going to make you not happy where you are. So then you have once you can become aware of this, you have the choice. Do you want to put that information in your brain or not? And it's hard, right? Because it's addicting. It's habits. It takes time to break a habit. It takes time to break a habit of when you wake up in the morning, most people, and this is me, my phone is right next, I use my phone as my alarm. I wake up, I turn the stop button on my alarm, I open my phone, I check my text, I check my Slacks, and out of nowhere, somehow I get on Instagram to have a DM or notification. And out of nowhere, I'm watching a story from someone I met 7 years ago at a club in Europe, never copped to, but I know what they have for breakfast and it looks delicious. And now my breakfast is not going to look delicious relative to that. I'm like, why the fuck would I put that in my brain? It's hard to rip off the bandaid and break the habits, but like my phone doesn't go in my bedroom. My phone stays in my desk at all times. So I can't do that. Instead, I have a journal by my bed and I have a book by my bed if I want something. That's it. not taking my phone to these places. And to realize and be conscious of that, that's helped me become aware. And what's on the other side of that, the first part's so challenging. Like, even when I first, for the past probably 5-10 years of my life, every time I went to the bathroom, I was on my phone. I realized I would go to the bathroom, not because I had to go to the bathroom. I would go to the bathroom so I could have a quiet place to be alone on my phone. Whether when I was at home, whether it was in social situations, I would get to the bathroom, I'd be like, I don't even have to go to the bathroom. And I'd be on my phone for 5 minutes. I'd be like, what the fuck am I doing? It's just insane. So it's hard to break that at first, but then once you break, and it's scary, and like, I still, you know, for the first couple of months after that, every time I close the door behind me, go to the bathroom, my hand immediately goes in my right pocket.
Man. A
couple months. And I'd go in my right pocket and I'd be like, there's no phone here. I'd be like, what do I do? There's no phone here. And you just have to break through that first cycle because the other side of it is so powerful.
I love it. My last episode was all about self-discipline, and I love how you said it takes time, because it really does. And when, like, we're doing these little acts on a daily basis, and then we remove, like how you removed your cell phone. I also sleep with my room outside of my bedroom most of the time. So days that I don't, I'm like, okay, now I remember why I do this, because it's just so subconsciously ingrained. And then we get mad at ourselves, but we've been programmed that way. And same way with money too. I think a lot of people are mad at themselves for like debt and all these things. And it's like, we've literally been programmed as a nation to spend money, circulate money, and just kind of put ourselves in that situation, then feel those emotions. And when we're not talking about it, it can amplify. I do want to go back to what you said earlier about, you know, the party and the perception of the party. You mentioned working out. I'm personally, now that I'm slowing down, more focused on my health and fitness, and I'm realizing how much that affects my mood, my vibration, my work ethic. So when you slowed down, I'm curious, was like, were you already kind of conscious of like what you're eating and like sleep and stuff like that, or was it, were you mainly focused on work?
I was definitely focused on work. I guess I didn't value, I didn't know how important it was what I was putting in my body. And like, I didn't see my body as a machine. And I thought it was okay. And it's so easy to get tricked into like, oh, these cauliflower chips are sold at Whole Foods, so they must be healthy. And then you read the ingredient and it's like soybean oil, this, that, whatever. And like the 12th or the last ingredient's like cauliflower crust or something. Or like these are potato chips, right? But they're sold at Whole Foods and they should be healthy. So it's understanding what's going on in your body. What's actually healthy, what's actually not. Because it's, you talked about the capitalistic world we live in. It's fucked up. You know, medicine, food, they don't have humans' best interests at heart. They're trying to make money. So oftentimes there's a lot of brainwashing and this is healthy. This is good for you. Here, take this. Take these pills. Eat this food. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that fucks you up a lot more. But yeah, I think it's really important to be conscious of like, the basic, it's not rocket science. And it's not about the information. It's not about knowing what to do. It's about actually doing it. So like drinking enough water, sleeping 8 hours a night, doing one thing physical a day. And it could be walking. It could be walking. It could be stretching. Just checking in with your body. Spend 5 minutes taking some deep breaths and saying, where's my body at right now? What does my body need right now? It's all these small things, which, when you have this massive cloud of stress on top of you, it seems impossible to do. And that's the state that I was in, where I had this massive cloud of stress and anxiety on top of it that made it seem impossible to work out. Like even moving one leg forward, then another one outside, I'm like, I can't do that. I can't even think about doing that because I'm so stressed. So I think number one is like breath and understanding how important your breath is. And that you always take a deep breath, no matter where you are. Just take one deep. And how much that could reset your energy and your vibe and allow you to think of things from fresh perspective, since it's always there for you. Just be more conscious of yourself and your body, I think is super powerful and important. And it's the first step. Because if you're so stressed that you can't think of that, you're not going to be able to think of that. And honor that. You should honor that you're so stressed and be like, I've got to do something about this. It's important not to run from the things, whether you talk about, you know, run from the inability to understand finances and getting into debt. You can't run from that. Yeah. Say, hey, this is something that I'm not good at. And it's amazing that you're not that, because you're able to get the consciousness. It's not amazing you're not good at it. It's amazing you have consciousness that you're not good at it, because that's the first step. So the second you become aware of something, you have two options. You could say, I'm such an idiot. How do I not know how to do this? I'm a loser. I'm never going to have money. I'm always going to be in the cycle of debt and negativity. Shit, that's reinforcing it in your mind, and that's manifesting it in a negative way. Or you could look at that growth mindset that's so powerful to adapt is, wow, I'm so happy that I'm conscious and aware of a weakness I have. How can I get this weakness into a strength? What can I do? What teachers can I go learn from? Who can I ask? What resources am I have? When I feel this feeling again, that's actually not a negative thing. And I shouldn't think, oh shit, I'm an idiot. I should think, wow, another opportunity to help heal this and help work on this. So you could develop that mindset. It takes time. It's hard. You got to look at the hard things straight on. But once you begin and doing that, they'll start being able to build on top of that.
Yeah. And you also help other people, because now they can come to you because you felt that and you did that.
And everyone wants to help someone who wants help. No matter who you are, if you genuinely want help, humans want to help you and they will help you. So if you're really true and passionate about what you're doing and who you are, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. If you're really confident and then you really want to do it, the universe will help you.
Yeah. I believe that on an energetic level too, that's like when you say I'm ready, it's not only like physical people you'll meet and stuff like that, but also like energetically, you just attract all this abundance of help because you're open to it. Your heart is open. So we're wrapping up here. Last thing I want to touch on is the song. I personally am so connected to music, and my dad has always been very like, not be able to communicate how he feels, but he'll send me a song. Hey. And I think really connected with that too. So now that when I'm feeling certain emotions, you know, certain songs will take the words right out of my mouth. So would you say the same thing for music? And what's your perception of the song, The Gambler?
Yeah, so I think the song you're talking about, The Gambler by Kenny Rogers. It's the I played on repeat when I opened a retail store. And I was very optimistic and very excited about this store. Eight years of business, been online. It's such a big deal to open a store. I put so much time, energy, and emotions into that store. I was there every day, late night, building it out, making it perfect, spent all this money and time and energy and effort on it, was planning to have this store be a flagship store for the next 25 years of my life. And I was envisioning my kids working their first jobs at this store. And I was envisioning a staple and all the people that come through. And I had this big launch party and I had all this energy and excitement around it. And after a year, the store was not performing that well. And it's a very tough financial time right now. And I had to make the decision to close the store, which was for the longest time. I had a feeling it was coming for the longest time. I denied it. And I just wouldn't even look at that thought. I'd be like, the store's losing money. It doesn't make sense. But I can't even think about that. I can't even talk about it. I wouldn't even go there. And finally, I faced it head on and I said, fuck. Like, there's no way this store makes sense right now. I need to close it. And the song that came to mind for that was Kenny Rogers' The Gamblers. You gotta know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. And I think as an entrepreneur for the longest time, something was taught in me that success is never folding up. And you'll get there by never giving up. And the best entrepreneurs and the best leaders and the best people, they push through when nobody thought it was possible. And they make things that are impossible, they force it and they will it and they make it happen in the world. And that's why they're special and that's why they win. And I thought that was the most courageous thing to do, was to always push and force. Wow. What I've learned is it's actually more courageous and scarier to fold.
What did you just say?
It's harder. It's way scarier to say, like, hey, this did not work out. I'm accepting it. I'm admitting it. I'm able to learn from it. And I'm okay telling the world I tried this store. I gave it everything I fucking could. And it didn't work out. And that was the scariest thing for me to say forever. Always. And I was even scared to put that in the world. And once I shared that, the amount of people and the overwhelming like amount of positive feedback, I got more positive feedback on when I shared closing the store than when I shared opening the store.
Really?
And more respect from people. I was like, holy shit. Like, it's okay to share vulnerability and it's okay to fold them. It's okay. And I think there's so many people who are probably listening to this right now who are thinking, they know they're pushing a boulder uphill and they know it's not the right thing to do. And they're scared to stop. They're scared to fold them. Whether it's you're working your job and you know you hate your job and it causes you stress and anxiety, you shouldn't be working there. But you're
there.
Because your mind immediately starts going to, oh my God, if I quit my job right now, I will never get hired for another job the rest of my life. And I'm going to be on the streets and I'm not going to have any money. And it's going to be such a hard life. That's an insane place for your mind to go. Like, you could say it, this job's not free. You're going to find another job. You'll probably find something better. And that fact too, like, everybody wants growth, but nobody wants change. And growth and change are the same thing. But people crave growth and people resist change. But when you resist change, you're resisting growth. Because you cannot have growth without change. So I think for everyone who's scared of change, that's human nature. You have to acknowledge that. But you need that change from growth, no matter what it is. So that should give you confidence. Whatever, what you're feeling, honor your feelings. And if you're not feeling whole, it doesn't just switch one day. It's you need to change. You need to grow. And to grow, you need to change. So honor those feelings. Trust those feelings. Trust there's a bigger plan for you. And change happens. Shit happens. Not everything is supposed to work. That's okay. That's how you grow.
That's amazing. I honestly have so much respect for you for not only making that decision and following through, but sharing it in the way that you shared it. Like, I was one of those people who was like, oh, just full body chills, like permission to feel things that I didn't even know I needed to feel. Right. And like, I think a lot of people talk about, you know, again, the forcing, you explained it perfectly, push through. And there will be times where you just need to, there's also times where you do just need to surrender and, you know, allow the acceptance to come. And I think, like you said, that is the hardest thing, especially when you are excited and passionate about something and really looking at as, you know, you were able to grow as a person in that experience when you're creating it and after. And so I thank you again for sharing that. This is like, I took a huge like break personally from my podcast because I was only sharing success stories and just like nothing was resonating. And I was like, I don't want to know about, you know, the next $1 million launch. I want to know about, you know, it's hard, it's challenging. And when you're able to acknowledge those challenges and feel them and cross them, it gives other people permission to do the same, but also permission to keep going, whether it's the way that they thought it was going to be or a different way. And especially as a man sharing this, I think it's even better. And again, I need you to go watch the video with Russ because they talk about the same thing. The more that you share it, the more you're getting other men to share or permission to share it and feel and just like, it makes you stronger. Like, women see you as stronger because you're able to do that opposed to a weakness. So
yeah.
I really appreciate
it. Yeah, of course. And I'm glad I could share. And I appreciate you for creating a platform in such a safe space where people like myself are comfortable to share. I think what you're doing is awesome. So keep on going.
Appreciate it. So if people want to reach out to you after this podcast and they want to share, where's the best place they can find you?
Instagram's probably best, just Taylor Offer. You could always shoot me an email, taylor@feetclothing.com. But yeah, see me on the internet somewhere. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, MySpace.
You're on my TikTok now, so I'll be in your comments.
Thanks
so much for tuning into the Manifesting Money podcast. If this episode resonated with you or shifted your paradigm in any way, shape, or form, please stop what you're doing right now and write us a review. This simple act of kindness helps us get this podcast episode out to as many people as we possibly can. And we also want to know what resonated with you and why. So be sure to join our free Facebook group that you can find in the show notes or tag us on Instagram. Either way, we love when you're in our energy and we love rewarding you for listening to the podcast. When you're ready to truly break down your money blocks and learn how to make money work for you, not the other way around, go to the show notes and learn how you can work with us and join our community of people who are making massive shifts in their finances. Thanks again for tuning into this episode, and we cannot wait to share your testimonies. We'll see you in the next episode.